Fresh Veggies Day is an opportunity to explore fresh veggies. Fort Hays State University's Glenn McNeil joins us to talk a little bit about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast.
June 16th, every year, is also National Fresh Vegetable.
That's probably a little healthier than fudge.
Very few people know that, though, because the first thing, if you type in what is June 16th, it comes up as National Fudge Day.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody really looks any further.
Exactly. Yeah. I got my excuse for the day. I'm going to go get some fudge and celebrate the day.
There's a few other things, too. Some fudge is okay. I'm not a big fudge fan. Butterscotch fudge I like. Marshmallow fudge I like.
Yeah, the creamy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really like nuts and fudge, and a lot of people like nuts and fudge. And I do like to take fudge and take an old cheese shredder and shred it real fine and put it on ice cream and then put marshmallow cream on top of the ice cream. So, yes, I do eat fudge. Okay, not a lot. I eat more fresh vegetables than I do fudge.
And that's what everybody should do.
Yes.
More vegetables than
sweets. More vegetables than fudge, but nothing wrong with, you know, eating some fudge, as we've always talked in here. Moderation in all things. You know, include a little bit of everything you like in your diet, in essence, what you eat. But at the same time, focus a little more on the more healthful items, like vegetables. Okay. And being National Fresh Vegetables. You know, that's the kicker in this, is that I encourage people to eat fresh vegetables. We have frozen, which are excellent quality. We have canned, which are very good quality. Okay, we have dehydrated vegetables these days, which, they fit well in soups and things like that that you want to make that have a lot of liquid. But it's still pretty hard to beat the taste, the texture, the mouthfeel of fresh vegetables. You know, so that's a big one when we look at it. There's lots of vegetables. The list, depending upon how you categorize things, is huge. But there's four major types when we look at vegetables. We've got root vegetables, okay? And a root vegetable would be, what's a root vegetable?
I always think of potatoes.
Okay, potatoes is an example of a root vegetable, because what you're actually eating is part of the root. In most cases, you're eating the starch, which is the sugar the plant has stored for continued growth. So when it comes up the next year, it will come up. So that root vegetables is basically, it's the underground part of the plant that we consume. Okay. And many of them are, carrots is a standby that is a root vegetable. Beets, if you like beets, turnips.
I went to the farmer's market the other day. Okay. And talking with a couple of vendors I know there, and they had some beets, and I don't know that I've ever had them. They pushed them on me. They said, you got to take these home and try them, because if the only thing you've ever experienced is like pickled beets, you might not be a fan, but there's so many other things you can do with them.
Yes. Sweet beets, excellent, you know, to make in terms of, and pickling beets is not that difficult to do. So, you know, that's what you get with those. Onions fit into root vegetables, you know, of course. And so we get that. Root vegetables are, okay, since they're a vegetable, they are a plant product. They do contain, they're primarily starch, but they do contain a small amount of protein. But what's big today is root vegetables contain no gluten. So you'll see root vegetables advertised as a part of a healthy-free gluten diet. Well, they never did contain gluten. They don't contain gluten. So that's really not a big deal. Root vegetables, overall, good sources of vitamin A. Many of them are good sources of vitamin C. Of course, they're great sources of fiber, which can benefit all of us. And many of them have high potassium value, which is good for the heart, okay? And circulation and muscle contraction, another group of things, okay? Then we have what we call the cruciferous vegetables. Most people know the cruciferous vegetables as gas formers, because when you eat cruciferous vegetables, your body tends to produce a lot of gas. Okay, they're a rather large group. They're diverse. Most people think of broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage. Okay, when they think of the cruciferous vegetables, which you've got kale, you've got bok choy, which both kale and bok choy easily be purchased in grocery stores these days. Mm-hmm. And there are kale's like a leafy product, but bok choy is a type of cabbage that is not quite as, say, bitter as regular cabbage is. And it's more in the shape of celery than what we consider to be a head of cabbage. It's really easy to work with. Brussels sprouts, good. What not too many people around here eat, but when we lived in Kentucky and when my son lived in Louisiana, collards were big. And you used to hear collard greens. Well, okay, they're also greens and they're also cruciferous vegetables. It's a bitter type of leaf that you cook, kind of along the lines of spinach.
Hmm.
Okay, and in terms of that, depends on what you do with it. Watercress, things like that. And I did bring you, since it is fresh vegetable today, I did bring you a cruciferous vegetable out of my garden. Okay, I'm not much of a gardener, but out of my garden that we have been eating already. And just to show you that it is a fresh vegetable, I picked it right before we came, and I washed it.
Oh, it's washed, so I can eat this.
It's washed it.
So this is a good-looking.
It is a what?
Is it? Well, I think it's a radish.
Yeah, it's a radish.
Okay, it's not very circular. Well, not to judge your radish.
No, it depends on how you plant them and when you pick them.
Yeah.
As to how they grow.
Yeah, I've never had a fresh garden radish. I love radishes. I'm going to try it. I'm going to bite into our hair.
Now, everybody listening, did you hear that crunch when he bit into it? Okay, that vegetables should be what we call crisp tender. They should have a crispness and a crunch to them. Now, what do you think of my radish?
That is a spicy radish.
Yes, it is.
I like that.
That's the good part about the variety that I planted. And anybody can grow radishes. I have a tub that is 2 feet by 4 feet, and I filled it with garden soil, and I put rows in it, and I water it, and I grow radishes in my little tub.
Very cool.
And as I go through and I pick out a row, I just drop more seeds in, and then I pick out a row. So I didn't have to till up a whole bunch of the garden. I got it in a spot that's full sun and can water it, you know, with a watering can, easy to grow. So growing many root vegetables is not a difficult process. You simply have to have something deep enough that allows the root to develop. Carrots grown in my radish garden could only be about maybe 2 inches long, because it's not any deeper than that. But yeah, so radishes are. Now, these come up. Cruciferous vegetables are lots of different colors, so they add variety to your diet in color, okay, as you look at that thing. And some of the root vegetables do this too. Cruciferous vegetables, good sources of both vitamins and minerals, especially one great mineral is folate. Okay, which is good for our cells as we age, especially good for developing fetal cells, regeneration of cells, folicin or folic acid. So the cruciferous vegetables are high in that. They're also, many of them are good sources of vitamin K, okay, and which is the vitamin that, you know, vitamin K does a lot of different things in the body. The biggest thing that most people know is that it helps with blood clotting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, we have that particular process. They've got vitamin C in them. They've got some vitamin A in them. They're also the group that's biggest in what we call the phytonutrients. And we've talked about phytonutrients and phytochemicals here before, and these are not nutrients like vitamins and minerals. They're chemical compounds. They're plant compounds that our body uses for its benefit. They give us some anti-carcinogenic properties. They help deal with antioxidants. They help our cells recover. So they're used in metabolism, but they're not vitamins and minerals. So it's kind of a different type of thing that we do. Many of the cruciferous vegetables can help lower inflammation. Okay, so you know we find that. And again, they're rich in fiber. Okay, so as you eat both root and cruciferous vegetables, they can help you feel fuller, consume less food overall, all right? And they have some natural sugars in them, but not a lot. Fact is that cruciferous vegetables are often called gas-producing vegetables. And what causes that in people, and especially when you look at broccoli, cabbage, and cauliflower, mm-hmm. I tell you all the time, I can't eat that, it gives me gas. Okay, well, that comes from a sugar, all right? And it's a sugar called raffinose, right? It is a sugar that, not very sweet. We wouldn't really use it for anything else, but it's part of the carbohydrate structure in the plant, right? The plant uses it, stores it, and uses it for growth. We do not have the ability to convert raffinose and use it for energy by our body like we can sucrose or table sugar or glucose, blood sugar. We can't do that. So what happens is the raffinose stays in your gut, right? And it goes pretty much kind of through the stomach, a little bit of activity in the stomach, passes through the small intestine, bacteria starts to operate on it, gets into the large intestine, and what the bacteria in the large intestine does is it breaks everything else down and we get the last nutrients. Well, this bacteria in this nice, warm, moist environment feeds on raffinose and produces large amounts of gas. So you have gas and you'll feel bloated. Now, most of the time, gas from these types of products is non-odorous. Okay, and it's very difficult to control the release of the gas because it's like, okay, here's a small pocket of raffinose going through the intestinal, going through the large intestine, and this bacteria sees it, jumps all over it, breaks it down, and produces gas very quickly. Okay, so you feel bloated and you got to release it. So my kids used to say grandma toots. My mother consumed a very high fiber diet, just health-wise. And yes, grandma tooted, but you know, and she always laughed. So, you know, we find that and we see that. So, you know, we got red vegetables, cruciferous vegetables. Then we have a big category called greens, right? And greens are?
Everything else.
Well, that's what?
Like lettuce and I'd.
But they're called greens because they're.
Well, green.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they're primarily green.
That makes sense.
Okay. So, and in a way you could say that radish has greens on it. You could cook those radish tops. We really wouldn't want to. They're kind of bitter. You know, so we want to do that. But, you know, when we look at greens, it's collard greens, which are also part of cruciferous or root vegetables. It's just eating the different part of the vegetable. Okay, and that's where the greens come from. Kale, mustard greens, chard, bok choy, the Chinese cabbage fits in that too. So because you eat different parts of it. Okay, so when you eat the tops, you're eating the greens. When you eat the bottom, you're eating the root. And you can't do that with all vegetables. You can do that with some, but you can't do that with all vegetables. Okay. There's another product out that's been out around for years, generations, known as Rocket, and it's actually Argula. Okay, and it's a leaf off of a product or a plant that how do I say this? It's got a mustard. Have you ever mixed mustard and pepper together and toss in a little tiny bit of white vinegar? It's kind of what it tastes like.
Hmm.
So it's sweet and bitter at the same time. It's used as a topping for salads. People don't buy much of it. You'd probably have to go ask for it here, and I don't know whether anybody would have it or not. Okay, from that. You could right now go out in your yard or in that field over there and pick some dandelion greens.
I have a friend, he swears by dandelions. He loves. He says they're great for the soil. They're great for you. You can eat it all. He doesn't eat a lot of them, I don't think, anyway, but he loves growing them. He will plant his yard with dandelions.
Yeah, you can harvest dandelion greens, and that's fine. You just got to make sure if you're going to go somewhere and pick them that nobody sprayed anything.
Yeah.
Do that. Okay, so we got red vegetables, cruciferous vegetables, and greens. Okay, then we have the last, and there are other categories. These are the four major categories I like to put things in. It's a group called nightshade. Okay, and people have heard of nightshade vegetables. And the most famous of all the nightshade vegetables, and not even a vegetable. We got time?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The most famous of all nightshade vegetables is not even a vegetable. Mid-times, you know, back in the old days of castles and kings and fiefs and all of that, okay, these were thought to be poisonous. They're red in color. What are they?
Radishes. No, I'm just kidding. It's tomatoes. I know this one.
Yeah, but you know what? Tomato is not a vegetable. Tomato is a fruit. Okay.
Because the seeds are on the inside, right?
The seeds grow. It comes from a blossom, and it's different on how it comes from the blossom. Okay, it goes behind, and the seeds, the meat of the product surrounds the seed. When that happens, we actually have a fruit. Okay, that fits into that category. So we have fruits and vegetables that fit into the nightshade group. Okay, and the nightshade group. Has its name because many of them are very flavorful, okay, in whatever they are. And they are products that tend to grow better overnight than they do during the day. So the name nightshade came around because they thought there was some sort of unholy thing going on with this plant where it would grow overnight but wouldn't grow during the day like all the rest of the or grown one night, so it became a nightshade. That's a little, I mean, that's folklore.
Sure.
How that one got set. But they do grow better at night. If you ever check your tomatoes or anything, you get up in the morning and there's blossoms all over, you know, or something like that. These products grow better as the temperature cools down, and then they reserve their moisture for the day. Now, nightshade vegetables, Eggplant's an example, okay, of a nightshade vegetable. Potatoes are actually an example, but it fits in many other categories. Probably the most recognized one today are peppers. Okay, mm-hmm. All the different varieties of peppers fit within the nightshade vegetables. Now, there's also one that most people don't think about, and that's tobacco. Okay, but we don't eat tobacco. Okay, you could try.
Well, I'm curious now what tobacco actually tastes like if you were to eat some.
Well, it's it's not a fruit. It's not a vegetable. It's a nightshade plant. It gotcha. Grows better through the night. Okay, so, but if it's a, I always thought that was interesting. You know, yeah. You don't eat it, but okay, from that. Now, the other thing about nightshade plants is that they contain, most of the nightshade plants contain some form of what we call an alkaloid, okay? And an alkaloid, how do I want to put this? They're chemicals similar to proteins, but a little different, okay? And they're high in nitrogen, okay? Well, it's the nitrogen composition with everything else that's in this alkaloid that has an effect upon the human body, okay? And what we find is they're kind of medicinal. We can make a lot of medicinal things out of. Morphine is made from a nightshade alkaloid, as an example of what we fit in there. Quinine is another product that fits into that. So, we see this. And so as this goes on, we find that some of these alkaloids also fit into the phytonutrient category where they can give us some protective aspects against cancers. Okay. Oh. So it's good for us in terms of that, but it can also be bad for us. If you get too much, they can cause headaches. They can cause bitter taste in foods and cause gastric upset, nausea, diarrhea. And in most cases, you can identify when a dark colored plant gets this. Potatoes are famous for this. You pick up a potato and it's got green circle or green spots all over it. People always say, well, that's got sunburned tomato. Yeah, it's kind of a suppose. But what that is that contains, because of the chemical interactions that have occurred, that contains an alkaloid called solanin, the green part of the tomato. That's what can make you sick. Okay, so if you ate lots of green potatoes, now, you can peel that part of the skin in the potato away. You can cut it away and use the rest of the potato, and that's fine. Now, you're not going to get this from eating one or two green potatoes, okay? You'd have to eat quite a bit, or you'd have to eat quite a bit of a vegetable that's showing this process. Mm-hmm. So those are our four main categories that we look at when we buy and when we fix vegetables and so forth. Okay, and I brought you a fresh vegetable from my garden. Okay, to show you how much I appreciate you. And also,
well, I appreciate you, sir.
Well, thank you. But I wanted somebody else to taste one of my hot radishes.
Yeah, it's good.
I liked it. So first step in using fresh vegetables, make sure ones you buy or pick are not bruised or damaged. Look them over carefully. Now, it always drives me nuts when you go in and people are feeling all over all the different vegetables and everything. But, you know, you don't want things that have soft spots in them when they should be firm all the way around, discolor. Slices, that type of thing. Don't buy them if they're bruised or damaged. Second thing is clean them. Wash your hands with soap and water, then wash your vegetables. Rinse your vegetables off with water. There's all these vegetable rinses and washes out there you can use. What most of the science tells us is they're not a whole lot better than water. In terms, what many of them are is they're really, really heavily diluted bleach. Okay, so even if you rinse them off with those, you still got to rinse them off with water. Mm-hmm. So just make sure you rinse them off good. And actually, a little vegetable brush, like I pull the radish out of the ground, I get a little vegetable brush, put it in some running water and brush it off and slice the top off and the bottom, and it's ready to eat, okay, from that process. So wash them, all right? Third, when you go through this process, when you shop, okay, or when you go to the farmer's market to buy them, separate what you purchase. Here we get into the preparation. We've talked in here a number of times about cross-contamination. Keep fresh vegetables away from raw meats, raw poultry, raw anything. Handle them separately. Go to the grocery store, watch them when they bag their groceries. They put most of them are very careful about it. Sometimes they aren't. They put the chicken in the bottom and then dump in the fresh vegetables on top of it. I always say I want my meats in separate bags. I want my chicken in one bag, my beef in another bag. I don't want anything else in the bag. Mm-hmm. Bag your things like that at the grocery store. Keep them separate at home. Okay. Don't use a cutting board for raw meats and then put raw vegetables on your cutting board. okay, and then serve them. Just be safe, you know, watch for the contamination. Cooking is the same thing. Now, cooking with vegetables, you want vegetables to be what we call al dente, crisp, tender. Mm-hmm. Fresh green beans that are cooked until they're mushy and fall apart are overcooked. All right, a lot of people like them that way, but they're overcooked, okay, from that. So boiling, steaming, boiling, you know, for a short period of time, steaming, microwave, great way to go, okay, when you're cooking fresh vegetables, if you're going to cook them. And many times cooking helps break down some of the raffinose in a vegetable, so it will help make cabbage less gas producing. It will, in many cases, cooking vegetables creates milder flavors within the vegetables. If you've ever eaten fresh broccoli and cooked fresh broccoli, there is a definite difference in the taste, okay, of those two products, even if they're both handled right. Okay, step five, chill things. Okay, if you bring a bunch of vegetables in the garden from the garden or bring them home from the store and you wash them off, put them in the refrigerator. Bag them up, you know, wrap them in a towel, bowl, a little water on, whatever. Put them back in the refrigerator, keep them chilled. Just helps prevent any bacterial growth or anything that can occur around them. And most fresh vegetables that are chilled still have good flavor. Some of the flavors get a little bit better as they warm up, kind of like cheese, okay, but some still do that. And then I'm going to go back to, when in doubt, throw it out. If you're not sure how old it is, if it's sat out on the counter for a vegetable dip or something for a couple of hours, good idea to pitch it, you know, because of contamination. You're dealing with a raw food product here, okay? So you just want to do that. You know, if you've had something, if you're not going to cook it, if it's been in contact with raw, if you're going to serve it raw and it's been in contact with raw meat, you messed up, well, cook it. That'll kill the bacteria, okay? You cook it, but be very careful. And we just tell people to do that around holiday time. Fresh vegetables, cleaned, put in the refrigerator, will keep for a week and maintain their freshness. I always put my radishes in a bowl of water and set them in the refrigerator, and they'll stay crisp and fresh for about 6 days, okay? They don't last 6 days because I eat them all the time, okay? But, you know, in terms of like that. And I don't think you can beat the flavor of many of the fresh vegetables out there. To take a green or a yellow pepper and just wash it, seed it, slice it up, and snack on it. Now, for a lot of people, that's a lot of spice, but I think that makes a good taste. An onion. Nothing better to me than a Verdalia onion, peeled, cooled down, peeled, sliced in nice big round pieces, and then you put a piece of sharp cheddar cheese on top of it. Verdalia onion and sharp cheddar cheese. Or just eat an onion like an apple. I mean, people don't like that. I do not like that. Lettuce leaves. You know, if you're looking for a way to lighten sandwich meals, lettuce leaves make great replacement for bread.
Oh, yeah, I love doing that. Mm-hmm.
Cook a hamburger patty and put your hamburger patty between two lettuce leaves and put whatever else you wanted, and it really makes a nice little pocket, and the same is true with cabbage leaves. So lots of fresh vegetables. They're coming into their own. You know, I look, my cucumber plants have got little cucumbers on them about 2 inches long already. My tomato plants are covered in blooms, but no tomatoes yet. My bean plants are growing. It's early for beans. I've never planted beans before, so I planted pole beans this year. So I got these big pots scattered around the yard with bean plants and poles sticking up out of them. That's how I garden. I don't really have it all in the ground. I have big pots and bins around.
That works.
Yeah, so it works. But grow your own. Go to the farmer's market. Buy them at the grocery store. They're great, you know. And, geez, right now you can go in the grocery store and you can buy a platter of cleaned vegetables, you know, fresh vegetables that you can snack on. And they make great snacks for people.
So, absolutely.
I hope people enjoy them all summer long. You know, just be smart, be safe. Eat the ones you really like and occasionally buy one you've never had before. Look up how to prepare it. Okay, that's always important. Sometimes the vegetable preparation is not as standard as we think. And then sample it. You know, and if you don't like it raw, chop it up, toss it in the skillet, put a little olive oil on it, chop a little onion with it, salt and pepper, crack a couple eggs in it, sprinkle some cheddar cheese on it, and you got a nice little mix of vegetables you didn't like mixed with eggs and cheese you do like.
There you go.
So have a great summer.